shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather. We pray that you open our hearts. May we hear you speak to us individually, in conviction, in clarity, and with power. We thank you that you are with us, Lord, so this time will be fruitful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I remember a couple of months ago, we did a hike on the ridge. And we saw this house, one of these up there, you know, there are some bougie houses, like bougie houses. One of these houses we saw, we learned that it's a self-sustaining house. So they are generating their own power. They've, of course, dug their own borehole. And I thought it's quite interesting, self-sustaining. But how self-sustaining is this thing? I realized that perhaps they get their food from outside. They need outside help. And even if they are growing their food there, what about entertainment? So yes, to some extent, we can talk about self-sustaining, but not really. We even apply this idea to ourselves. You might have heard some people who say they are self-made millionaires. Quite interesting. Self-made. And I think the only place that this idea of self-made works is if it's in contrast to people who perhaps inherited some fortune. So maybe that's how it works. But self-made, you rely heavily on your employees. You rely heavily on the services and help from others. We all need help. Nobody is self-sustaining. And today in Hebrews, the letter written to people who, Christians, who were on the verge of giving up, want to learn about getting help. Three things: how to get help, the problem to getting help, and the power to get help. How to get help, the problem to getting help, and the power to getting help. How to get help. Look at verse 16. There's an invitation for us. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace. We are first told about the place for help. The throne of grace. The place of God's presence and power. And we have an invitation that the place to get help is the throne of grace. And I think perhaps some of us, we need to hear this. The place to get help sometimes in our context is who you know. So in time of need, my mind goes through the registry. Who do I know? But the invitation for us is that there is a place to go to get help. Where? The throne of grace. We are also told of the attitude we should have. Not beggarly. You know, sometimes when we want, when you, your place of help is just human beings, we know how we ought to go. How? Beggarly. Beggarly. Without you, I'm dead. If you don't help me, I'm gone. I have nobody in this world. But the astonishing thing is that before the throne of grace, the attitude with which we are supposed to come is what? confidence. Draw near, not with a beggarly attitude, but with confidence. We also have an assurance that you will find grace to help in time of need. You will have a custom-made help for your need. So the invitation for you, draw near. Draw near, the idea of actually prayer. Come. Before the throne of God above, come. You are acknowledging that you need help, so come. Come. The place to get help. But there's a problem. The problem to getting help. Look at verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now, in verse 15, what is true about us? What will you say? What is true about us in verse 15? Weaknesses. Weaknesses. And we can think about our weaknesses in two broad categories. The first one is the suffering we face. Suffering is when the brokenness of the world caves in upon us. When the friend you have trusted betrays you. When the people you have helped can't be found. When that unexpected sickness pops up. That unexpected, unplanned for expense, which is no fault of yours, but the fault of others, comes in. When you are taken advantage of, when you want to open your heart and serve. Suffering. And this morning, I'm guessing we are all facing different forms of the brokenness of the world. So far as you are in this world, the brokenness of the world will cave in on you in some shape or form. But the other part of our weakness is sin. Not the brokenness out there in the world, but the brokenness of our own hearts. That sore temptation that you've tried to resist, but then you fall in again. Sin. When what is twisted in our own hearts finds expression in our lives. Sin. Now, think about this. Point one, we learned about the place to get help. And if you are going to get help, what does it presuppose? You need it. So our weakness actually is supposed to be fuel to go to the throne of grace. But here I'm calling it a problem. Why? Because of this. In suffering, we feel that God has abandoned us. And in sin, we feel that we have abandoned God. Isolation. The difficulty with our weakness is that feeling of isolation. The more difficult life gets, usually, the more isolated we feel. The Lord has been faithful. Where from all this? And inwardly, I feel that God, why have you forsaken me? To the best of my knowledge and the best of my ability, Lord, I have sought to be faithful. Why have you forsaken me? We feel isolated. And in sin, we know that we have disappointed God big time. So our weakness, which is supposed to be fuel and reason to come to the throne of grace, is a problem. Isolation. And perhaps some of us this morning, that's how you are feeling. The sense of, like nobody even sees you. Even in a crowd, you are all chatting. You feel that nobody sees you. Nobody really understands. And for those with teenage children, we know that's the refrain. When they are telling you something they want and you're objecting, what did they say? You don't understand. And some of us, that is how it feels like. In our weakness, because of the isolation, nobody understands. So there is a place to go for help, but now there's a problem. So we need a power. How do we get this power? Look at verse 14. We have a great high priest. Where is he now? He has passed through the heavens. Verse 15. Look at what we are being told about this great high priest. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. Sympathize, the word there, the idea that Jesus co-suffers with us in our weakness. That for anyone in Christ, this is what it's telling us. You never ever suffer alone. There is someone whose heart is tied to yours. So the pain we face, the weaknesses we experience, that pushes us into isolation. The writer says, listen, your great high priest, he sympathizes, he co-suffers, he co-feels with you. Now, One of the reasons this is important, because verse 14, where is Jesus? Why are we told Jesus is? Where is he? He is far away in heaven. Now, you come to the Gospels and you read and you see how Jesus Christ is walking amongst people, touching people, redeeming people, healing people, but now where is he? So by intuitively, we feel that if Jesus is far removed from us physically, so is his heart removed from our weakness. And that is because in life, that is how we experience it. When you are elevated, you usually forget where you came from. We used to live at Hacho. So Hacho, if you are going towards Legon, that's around about, you turn to the right, that's Hacho. And I used to attend church somewhere in Medina. Medina is somewhere here, I hope. There. Now, it was fun. Sometimes I could walk, get to a place and get a car. But when you get to the roundabout, Atomic Junction, survival of the fittest. To get a car from Atomic Junction to Hacho in the evening. And I did that for years. A couple of weeks ago, I'd gone to visit, so we've moved from there, that's years ago. I went to visit my junior brother who lives somewhere in Hacho, and I was driving back to Adenta. So I got to Atomic Junction, and I realized that there were people standing there. And I'm like, this evening, why are people standing by the roadside in the evening? So it took me a moment, around it, I know there's a shopping mall there. Like, if they want to hang out, like, they should just go inside. Why are people? I have been exalted. So what has happened? You know, that's part of the problem we have with our politicians. Remember, you know, so during campaign, they would sit in trotro with us. They will come to our houses and pound fufu with us. Some will even offer to wash our clothing. But when they win the election, so in life, this is what our experience tells us. When people are elevated, no matter what they say, their heart also moves away. So when we even come to scriptures and we see that Jesus is exalted, seated in heaven, how do we feel? Jesus is on holidays. He has come to suffer. He has done everything. Why any dear? He's done his part. But now where is he? But the writer in Hebrews chapter 4 is trying to correct this wrong thinking. That the exalted Jesus, even now, his heart is still with his people in their suffering. He co-suffers with us. The sympathetic high priest. So the moment when you were alone, when the brokenness of this world had caved in upon you and you were crying, were you alone? There was someone whose heart was also bleeding with yours. But there's a problem. Remember what we said about the weakness. Suffering and what? Sin. What about our sin? Does Jesus also sympathize? What does the text say? Let's see it. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. Has been tempted as we are. And when we read this, we want to say, yes, but Jesus, he never sinned, so he doesn't know. No. Yet without sin actually tells us that it is only Jesus who truly knows the weight of sin. Think about this. If I had two people, one holding this up, the other holding that up, and this guy holds it for just 5 minutes, and this guy holds this for 3 hours. Which of the two really knows how heavy it is and difficult it is to hold a bottle of water? 5 minutes or 3 hours? 3 hours. For us, when temptation comes, the history of mankind, we cave in. But Jesus never caved in. Who knows how difficult sin is? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. So when the guilt and the shame of sin is moving us into isolation, the writer says, remember your sympathetic high priest. Jesus knows. Jesus knows. And we are calling this the power because if you don't realize the heart of grace, there's no way you will go to the throne of grace. In our moment of isolation, if we are not applying the gospel to it, that for your sake on the cross, Jesus Christ actually was totally abandoned by God, completely isolated. All the people he had cared for abandoned him, even the God that he served and worshipped and gave himself to. My God, why have you forsaken me? For your sake. So Jesus Christ on the cross was isolated so that in life, when weaknesses cave in and I feel the isolation, I can know there's a sympathetic high priest who is there with me. And the great thing is that because he didn't sin, that is why he can help us. If he had sinned, he would have been locked up in the mess with us. He might be able to cry with us, but that'll be it. But because he never sinned, he sits with us to weep, but then also he can act as our high priest through whom we can go to the throne of grace. And now we can understand why it's possible to go confidently. It's not your brokenness, it's his brokenness. So getting help. The power we need to get help is a recognition of the sympathetic high priest. Shall we pray? You want to pray and ask God for this power. Our hearts are fearful. Our hearts are deceptive. But we want to pray for a renewal of our hearts by the realization of the sympathetic high priest. We want to pray unto the Lord, oh God, please give me this power. So that in my weaknesses, when there's felt isolation, I want to come confidently. Running away has never helped. We need to come confidently. We want to pray, help us, Lord. Help us. Help us, Lord. That we may know that indeed you feel what we are going through and you are able to help. Lord, we want to get help from the throne of grace. Open our eyes to see Jesus, who co-suffers with us. Thank you, Father.